Thank you, Lord. Our Savior, our Master, and our Lord. Blessed be your name, O God. You can have your seat. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Give you glory. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you, King. Oh, glory. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Jesus. Celebrate you tonight. We gather here because of you, Jesus. You died, you rose, you live forever. And you said we are two or three. In your name gathered, you're here. So we take it that you are here. Spend this moment to rehearse what you've done for us. Our greatest testimony. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to Jesus. We are all welcome in Jesus' name. The assignment is very simple tonight. Just want to remember Jesus. Remember the Lord. It's good to us. His mercy endures forever. That's just Jesus. So, without much ado, let's go to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. It's Belumedia, or whoever is there. Jerry, the song is ready. Okay, just get it ready for me. Coming to that in a minute, but let's just go to the Word of God first. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. We'll read some verses, verse 23. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered. Please don't tamper with this and this. Getting too much here. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, please don't tamper with this hand. It's affecting me here. Take it back to normal, just please. Took bread, and when he had given thanks, just a minute.
Want us to distract, I don't want them to distract us tonight. The sand is, and in my mind to be together here, not thinking about sand. Let's go back to verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Can you hear me in the hall? Thank you. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till it comes. Let's go to Mark 14. If you are with your Bible, let's go to Mark 14. Hallelujah. Take a look at verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, please help us take care of that baby. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. verse 25. Let's read together, everybody. Surely I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Tell somebody beside you, you're welcome to the table of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. This is like our most holy moment as Christians when we gather around what makes us Christians. I want you to please pay attention. So, you will see in the newspaper, people will write, somebody died, they will say, in memoria. 1 year after, they will remember the person. But the person is dead and gone. But our own case is different. Christ is asking us to rehearse his death, because his death has meaning for us now. So, and I was listening to a song about remember me. Remember, rather. Song starts to remember. It's talking about the communion table. And we're going to try and see if we can have it. All right. Bolari, can you help me here? I need to find the wire. Can you give us the lyrics of the song? It's a very beautiful song. I love the way this woman sings. I listen to her song. She has a very complicated name like that. You know, something Stephanie, something Stranger, something. You know. One of the Bethel church singers. Can you read on the screen? He said, you broke the bread and blessed the cup. You served the sacrifice of love. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see the glory of all that you are and all that you've done. Jesus, Lamb of God, oh, what a Savior. I love this part. You took the altar and made it a table. Wow. The altar is where you sacrifice for God, but Christ turned it to a table where we can eat together with the Lord. Nothing can separate what you bring together. Let's go on. Now and forever, I will remember how beautiful the mystery. Christ, my hope alive in me. Worthy, worthy, worthy. I'm caught up in the glory of all that you are and all that you've done. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Oh, what a Savior. You took the altar, made it a table, and so it goes on like that. Let me see if I can try and play it. It's a simple song that you will love to listen to. And I have this phone I play music with in church. It's an old phone that has, they don't have this anymore. All right. Let's see. Okay. Are we ready? Okay. She talk in her song, so just listen, you know.
You broke the bread and blessed the cup. You served the sacrifice of love. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see the glory of all that you are and all that you've done. Jesus, the Lamb. My hope. alive in me. And worthy, 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 I'm caught up in the glory of all that you are and all that you've done. Jesus, the Lamb of God, oh, what a Savior. You took the
set apart. I don't know how the song does it. That's how a song, you know, kind of have effect on me. I said, I'll just come to the communion table tonight and just play that. I'll remember Jesus, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to our Bible, 1 Corinthians 11 that we just read. Let's do something there tonight. I think we have children's class, right? Please take those babies to children's class. I plead with you. Don't try and set us up for distraction tonight. We have babies' place where babies can go. Thank you. That's always made available. I think I even pay money for it. That you can, a baby will not distract you. Please do that or else you move out. We can't let that get into our nerves tonight. This is a holy hour. We plead with you, wherever you are. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So tonight, let's proclaim the death of the Lord. Ask somebody beside you, why did Jesus die? I know you. Answer quickly. Save us, save us, save us, save us. But you see, the Lamb of God, there was one artist a very famous world-class artist. He wanted to draw the person of Jesus. So he wanted to really get his mind on God. So he shut down his studio in the U.S. and moved to Israel. And he put up a tent in the desert. And he began to contemplate how he would draw the master. So he started going through the Bible. He got to the serpent. He was not satisfied. He got to different parts of the Bible to draw. But about a year into that research, he stumbled on the Day of Atonement. And on that Day of Atonement, the high priest will take two animals. One, he will take it into the tabernacle for sin offering. He will kill it. They will shed the blood, put it everywhere. But the second animal is called scapegoat. That's where we got that word scapegoat from. And that scapegoat, the high priest will confess all the sins, all the troubles, all the mess of Israel for the next 1 year on that scapegoat. And they will not kill it. After that, somebody will take that goat by the rope and lead it into their prison. Let that person face whatever he needs to face. Don't waste your time. I've already talked. If you can't take my word, that's their problem. Some people don't know that sometimes when you say things in church, they are very voluminous and powerful. And they do whatever they like. Don't worry. Don't do anything. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So, that man began to draw that picture of the man taking the animal. And that animal scapegoat will enter into the bush and will be released there. And that animal will start wandering and struggling, carrying all the guilt and all the problems of Israel for the next 1 year. And he'll be released into the bush. And then maybe a lion, maybe whatever, will just kill it. And then this artist began to look at this animal, staggering, bleeding, lost in the wilderness, and he began to draw. And he came out with this fantastic picture. When he got back to US, the whole art world rejected his work. Then he remembered this. Isaiah 53. When they refused his work, this is what happened. Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Verse 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Everybody look at what he says next. Next part. Let's read together, everybody. Can you on the screen? Can I hear your voice? He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. Can you lift up and say, Jesus, thank you. You are rejected, that might be accepted. You are given all my sorrow and all that pertain to my life in rebellion toward God. Thank you for accepting it all. Thank you for being my scapegoat. In Jesus' name. Can you open your eyes? So the picture is this, that the scapegoat will take all the stuff that were wrong with Israel and walked into the bush and left alone. That's the other part of the lamb that was killed, the blood shed. We know that. That's what we are eating now. But the other side of it is this. Jesus' spirit in his body carried what we should have been carrying. And let's look at five things tonight that Jesus carried for us. Are we ready? Jesus carried five things for us. Hallelujah. In carrying them, we don't have to carry them. Praise God, somebody. Have you ever gone out with somebody and your load is quite heavy and say, can I carry it for you? And then you say, thank you. The moment he picked the load from you, you breathe a sigh of relief. So we're going to start from the number five. What he took as our scapegoat. The very first one. 13th chapter of Galatians, 13th verse of 3rd chapter of Galatians. Let's look at the first thing he carried. 3:13, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. See that word? Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why am I starting from here? This is the very first thing that God said to Adam. Curse is the ground for your sake. Let's go and see that. Hallelujah. What is the word cursed? It's the exact opposite of blessed. Am I right? Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. Verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree, cursed, that's the first one, is the outermost part. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Now what's the curse? If you go to Genesis 1:22, we see the word bless, which is opposite Genesis 1:22. Whoever is there, please remove this and give us Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful. See that word fruitful and multiply. That's the word that has to do with blessing. Be fruitful and multiply and fill. That's the first time the word bless was used in the Bible. Be fruitful and multiply. It was used again in verse 28. Take a look. And God blessed, verse 28. And then God blessed them, the first couple. And God said, when he said bless, be fruitful and multiply and fill. See that word again. So Jesus took that course. So we can say, what is the blessing? Be fruitful and multiply and fill. So the word curse simply means to be barren, to be divided, and to be emptied. To lose all that you have as a content. To not be able to multiply and be fruitful. And Jesus became the curse for us. Now tell yourself, I should never be unfruitful. And I will never be unfruitful. Because Jesus took that unfruitfulness on him. He says, be fruitful and multiply and fill. So I should not be contained and held back in life because Jesus took that same thing that could have stopped me upon himself. Let's go back to 3:13 Galatians. Christ has redeemed us. See, that animal scapegoat, when it walked away that day from the camp of Israel, it was like the ransom animal that carried all the curse that could come upon Israel for the next 1 year. But the animal could do it only 1 year. Christ did it forever. Let's clap our hands for the King. Hallelujah. He said, Christ has paid our debt from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. He didn't call it the blessing of Adam. Adam gave us the curse, but God came and told Abraham, I will restore the blessing. And you know the blessing, Abraham? Genesis 12. Give me verse 3. Genesis 12, verse 3. This is the blessing of Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, I'll curse him who curses you, and in you all. How many of you, you belong to a family? Yeah, can I see your hands up? You are in a family. You belong to a family. You didn't drop from heaven. So that's a blessing for your family. Tell yourself, that's a blessing. I take all the blessings available to me as a family. I take all the blessings available. Jesus became a curse for me. It's my scapegoat. It took the curse. So number one, from the end, or number five, Jesus carried our curse that the blessing might come on us. So as we come to the table, let's remember him as our curse carrier. Praise God, somebody. He bore the curse so that we can be blessed. That's why we are gathered today, to remember Jesus. His death as a scapegoat, released for 3 days and three nights, and rose again the third day, is that the blessing might come on us. Praise God. Amen, somebody. Number five, that's what we are dealing with. Let's go to the next one, number four. What did he carry? I want you, why am I telling you this? So I want you to stand against and refuse. Because, listen, if somebody carries something for you, they can't put a burden back on you, am I right? Praise God, somebody. I'm going somewhere, I enter taxi. I say, oh, Reverend, don't worry, I'm going to pay for you. The taxi cab guy can't ask me for that money again, surely? Yes, can't. Even if he does, I will challenge his thinking about, you're not thinking well. By the way, the cross of Calvary gives us a new justice to live by. You know, there is a way people say this. I'm not alone if you say, I'm a wall alone. But I'm saying, no, you don't be tiring. That's what came from Adam, condemn all of us. But as a new justice from the cross, that where the innocent took the sin of the guilty, so that the guilty can be free. Hallelujah, somebody. I just read today about a man in America that was jailed for life for 30 years. Since 90 what now? 1994. For the crime he didn't commit. I guess because he was a black man, he was profiled, and he was put on death row for 30 years. Finally, they opened up the case and find out that it was not him. How will he get the 30 years behind the bar back? But Jesus got it back for us. Amen, somebody. Jesus got it back for us. Hallelujah. How will he get it back? I said, we give him eternal life. And Christ has given us eternal life. So, number five, he took our course. Let's go to the second one, chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, verse 9. What did he carry again? He carried the course so that we can be blessed. Now, everybody look at this on the screen. This is the time we are living among dollarization of everything. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became what? Poor. That you, through his poverty, might become rich. I had serious problem with this verse. Because my mentality of riches is materiality. You ain't rich until you get it. And you don't, let me say that, you see in America, you don't got it, you don't have nothing. You got it, you got nothing. So I've always thought that, man, this verse is just talking about something else there. It's not talking about, how can somebody bore your poverty? You know, I mean, you can't become poor for me now. Then I saw it one day that my parents was bankrupt to send me to school. When my parents woke up in the morning and count money from their purse or from their account and transferred the money, they became impoverished and I became enriched in the school. Let's clap for our parents over here that sent us to school. All that money they could have used to buy decent cars, live in better houses, travel abroad for holiday, but they became poor so that we could have life. They are our scapegoat for money, one way or the other. And please, don't blame your parents. It's not easy. To be honest with you, it's not easy. Even when they are anywhere, you don't know other things that I have to do with them, that I have to sacrifice. So Jesus carried our poverty. He became poor. So I need to fight this fight first. You see, many of us, we see poverty as, oh, kosowolakbomi, ah, inkanleo. You're going to have to fight that sense of poverty first before you can really prosper well. I've had people writing different books, even unbelievers, on motivation, motivational books. And they will say that, they will say this, you're going to have to fight for abundance mentality first. You just can't think that to balolo awara rich. No, no. You got to have this richness mentality first. And we Christians, we don't have to battle for that. We got it at the cross of Calvary. Praise God, somebody. We have completeness in Christ. He became poor for us. Are you hearing me? You have to say that in the face of all that is happening around us. In the face of unemployment, that Jesus was, I said this way, I like it this way. Jesus became bankrupt to bankroll me. Praise God, somebody. I like that. He became bankrupt. He put his hands around me and he pushed me forward. And you know what? No matter what I meet, there is an all-sufficient, like now, my parents, like my, I do for my children now, my wife will say, the school fees. And I say, all right, because I struggle to put something up. And when the money is transferred, they'll be happy. And I will see zero in that account. But I do it gladly and with all sincerity of joy. I don't have regret for that at all. I'll do it again, even in heaven. They don't spend money there. I do it because the joy of living is in sharing with your loved ones. So Jesus became poor for us. He took our poverty. I know you have a good job. I know you have a good life. I know you have a good car. I understand that. But you see, poverty has a kind of a mentality and a spirit. And Jesus took it for us. Amen, somebody. That we might become rich. Hallelujah. That we might become rich. When we say rich there, it doesn't mean like Elon Musk. It simply means that the Lord will undertake for us in whatever we face.